Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, you're excited about today's subject, standing and delivering at the microphone, and it's about estate planning and taxes.
Who gets excited about taxes, for Pete's sakes?
We've been talking about this last few shows.
Yeah.
And continuing this discussion on how to not pay so many taxes, you've made the provocative statement several times is that taxes are optional.
They are.
Tell us more about that and how to use a trust to do that.
Yeah. So in the discussion of estate planning, then if you have more than what is called an exemption amount, so the first part of an estate is exempt from taxes. In Washington, that's right around $2.2 million. On a federal level, that's at $12 million. And those numbers are per person. So you can have up to that much money, and they will be exempt from tax. However, if you have more than that, then we are going to face an estate tax. And this is one of the few areas that taxes are optional. So in other words, there are things with good planning, with right planning, that we can do to help mitigate or eliminate an estate tax. Of course, everything we're talking about, perfectly legal, the tax code allows it. And again, what it requires is that someone stop and actually look at their estate plan and make a good plan. If you don't have a plan, then taxes are going to be a natural repercussion of bad or no planning at all, or old planning. So if you've done planning in the past and it has not been reviewed in the past 2 to 5 years, then that plan has a great risk of possibly not working as it was originally designed. Why? Because things just constantly change. Mm. Taxes change. The law changes. Your family and your wealth change, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. What have house prices done in the past 5 to 10 years alone? Mm. It is really amazing, is it not? And so someone who actually never considered themselves wealthy and still may not, because their bank account or their investment or their IRA may not be as rich and robust as what you would like, you still may be facing a taxable estate just because of real estate around the area. So this is something we need to stop, we need to take a look at, and we need to make sure that indeed your tax structuring system, should you die, is aligning properly. So in the past couple shows, and of course you can go over to legacyandfaith.com and find those, in the past couple shows we've talked about a couple things that we can do to eliminate or mitigate estate taxes. So the first one is we could do nothing. Well, that doesn't do anything about taxes.
Right.
So that is the I'm going to pay the tax and I'm going to lose money when I really may not need to do so. We talked about giving money away and being generous. That is a fantastic way to mitigate or eliminate estate taxes. The government appreciates it when we are generous. And so giving to nonprofits, including God's kingdom work, including churches in your estate planning, being generous when you pass away is a great opportunity to eliminate or reduce estate taxes. And then we talked about the role of where life insurance may play in order to be a mitigating factor as it applies to estate taxes. So that's kind of where we've been. Mm. And yeah, there's more to talk about. There's more opportunities when we talk about estate taxes of what we can do in order to eliminate or mitigate tax to your estate.
Well, you're up to then kind of your bread and butter, which is trusts and how trusts, different kinds of trusts, can help with taxes.
Right. And so there's two types of trust in simplicity. There's a revocable trust, which is one that you remain in full and absolute control during your lifetime. That is what the kind of standard go-to is for estate planning in general. And then there's a tool called an irrevocable trust. And that means that it is unchangeable and the terms of the trust are going to be fixed. So therefore, we use that type of a trust specifically for taxing purposes. So let's start with the most basic one, which is a revocable trust. Let me do a quick review on that first. So like I said, a revocable living trust is a tool that estate planners use to make sure that you have a good foundational plan. So it will include things such as, who's my family? It'll also include terms about what happens should I be alive, but I'm unable to manage my own financial affairs. So I call that disabled. It may mean that you are incapacitated and you should not be managing your money, or you cannot manage your money due to health and illness issues. So a good trust, a good estate plan will accommodate for, well, who's the successor trustee should I need assistance? Mm. Now, if you are single, then a revocable living trust does little to assist you in your tax needs for estate tax purposes, okay? And that's because when you pass away, you have one exemption that you can use. It's yours. Now, in a married situation, my wife and I, we each have an exemption power, and a revocable living trust, actually for married couples, will give some tax benefits should one of the spouses pass away. So in a married situation, a trust is also a tax tool, but in a single person environment, it is simply an estate planning tool to ensure that you are properly taken care of, that your money is going to be used as you need. And then after you've passed away, it goes to the places that you want. So a revocable living trust has a different flavor depending on whether you're a single individual or whether you're a married individual. And married couples have a tax opportunity, tax savings opportunity that a single individual does not. And really, again, all we're doing is we're using that exemption power to make sure that we're using both of them. Look, if I made an election to use a will for my wife and I, now, Mark, what does my will say if I'm married? Who does everything go to?
All goes to the spouse.
That's correct. And that's a very good answer for a guy, right? So we give everything to our wife. So now, the problem with that decision is that I didn't use my exemption power. So remember that $2.2 million in Washington State that you can utilize, and there's no tax on that money? Well, what I did is I gave everything to my spouse. And yes, if together we have $1 million, then that's clearly under the 2.2. And there is no potential tax that we are going to be up against. However, if we are over that $2 million, I just gave everything to my spouse, and now maybe she lives for 10, 15, 20 years, and that money grows. Even with $1 million, in a natural investment market, it should double about every 10 to 12 years. So if your spouse outlives you for 10 years, your $1 million estate may increase to be over the tax limit, and we lost an opportunity. So for me, I would prefer to hedge my bet to make sure that a plan is set up that regardless of the circumstance, regardless of what we may or may not have, that I am ensuring that there is not going to be a tax at the end of the day. So for married couples, there's an opportunity to save estate taxes by doing good base planning with your estate plan.
For married couples, though, isn't it $2.2 million per person?
Yes, and that's what we're doing when we do good planning, is that in a trust environment, if I die, then my portion of community property, my half of community property, and any separate property. So if I had received an inheritance or if I had property that was mine before we were married, there's many ways that we gain separate property, then that portion would be accredited as mine in my estate. And we're going to use my $2.2 million and we're going to cover that. Okay. Now, because I love my wife, I'm going to put that into a trust and I'm going to say, wife, because I love you, you can use my side of the money anytime you want for any reason that you need during your lifetime. So when we do good estate planning, we're not taking anything from a surviving spouse. What we're doing is we are separating when one spouse passes away, we are separating it into two different containers so that we can utilize both spouses' exemption. So now we're getting into some pretty heavy tax talk here. Mm. And for some individuals, specifically because it's on radio, it may be more difficult to follow. However, the bottom line, Mark, you've said it exactly correct, which is we each have the ability to protect money that is not going to be taxed. And when we do good planning with a trust, that is what we are accomplishing. Is that we are accomplishing. And what this is called is that maybe out in the marketplace, you've heard of an AB trust, or you've heard of a family or marital trust. There's terms of Q-tip trust and safe harbor trust. All these fancy terms are exactly the same thing that I'm trying to explain, which is when we are married, we have one trust that we hold everything together because that's how we live life and because we're in a community property state. When one spouse dies, we are going to take half of the assets in that trust and we are going to separate them so that we can have a tax advantage when the estate is fully settled after both spouses die. So yes, we are utilizing the exemption power and ensuring that there's not going to be an unnecessary estate tax because I don't mind paying taxes. It means I made something. So, and I'm grateful that God has blessed me. I'm grateful that I make something during each year. However, I don't want to pay unnecessary taxes. So by doing very straightforward and good basic estate planning, we can already, specifically for married couples, we can already start to eliminate and reduce estate taxes. And that's a good thing.
Okay, interesting discussion, estate planning for taxes this week. And if you are intrigued by Paul's approach and want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
We have a website set up, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, as I've already mentioned. There's educational opportunities that are coming up where we can talk more about this and give you visuals to help uncover what this discussion is about. And then there's ways to communicate with us as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, more details, again, legacyandfaith.com. And back with more of this discussion, estate planning for taxes with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, estate planning for taxes, all the different methods that are used. He just went over the revocable trust. Now, what's an irrevocable trust and how can that help?
Yeah, so like I said at the top of the show, an irrevocable trust is an instrument that we use where the terms are now going to be fixed. And there's a lot of different reasons that we would use an irrevocable trust. So, for example, I just talked about what happens for a revocable trust, whether it's single or whether it's married, when one person passes away because we can no longer get your signature, your revocable trust turns into an irrevocable trust. And so during your lifetime, revocable means you're fully in control. You're in charge of it. You can change the terms, conditions. You can change beneficiaries. You can change what percentage people are going to get. You can change charities. You can have your estate attorney come in and make adjustments to legal language or tax language. So revocable, you're in full and absolute complete control of the document as long as you are competent to make the adjustments. However, when someone passes away, because we can no longer get your signature, now the terms of a revocable trust become irrevocable. And so that's kind of the picture of being an irrevocable trust, which is we can no longer make an adjustment to the terms of the trust, and that can happen because someone died, or we can make an absolute election at the beginning to make an irrevocable trust. So let me give you an example of what that would look like. Last week, we had a longer discussion about how a life insurance may fit into someone's estate plan. So if you don't like life insurance, or if you're in love with life insurance, because there seems to be no one in the middle with life insurance, it's either you love it or hate it. There's a whole discussion on last week's podcast, last week's show. So again, head over to legacyandfaith.com, pick up on that. So if someone has a life insurance product in their financial portfolio, now, life insurance community has done a great job with saying, hey, this is a tax-free distribution to your beneficiaries. And part of that is true. Part of it is not exactly true. So it is tax-free to the receivers. However, because someone controls who the beneficiary is, it's called an incident of ownership in the IRS, because you can control who is going to receive that value, then the value of the life insurance is actually added to your estate. So, for example, let's say my home is worth $1 million and I have a $1 million IRA. So super, super simple math. I've got $2 million and I've got a $1 million life insurance policy that I'm the owner of. Now, so that makes my estate worth $3 million because I have a house, I have an IRA, and I control the life insurance. So therefore, even though when I die, the life insurance benefit is going to go to whoever I've said is the beneficiary without a tax, however, my estate value is now worth $3 million and the Washington state and the federal government is going to say, how much is Paul worth? He's worth $3 million, even though I never got to benefit from that life insurance policy.
I thought you said the life insurance, though, is tax-free.
Okay, so that's good. But there's two different components to it. It is tax-free to the receivers. So someone is going to receive a full $1 million check from the life insurance company. But my estate, the value has to be considered, and my estate may have to pay an estate tax because I was over the $2.2 million that I'm allowed under Washington state. So I exceeded what I control in my estate, and it exceeds the 2.2. So it's a little bit of a tricky thing, but But this is how life insurance has been marketed. This is tax-free money. That's true to the receiver, but it's not tax-free to the estate. Hmm. So what we can do, we're talking about irrevocable trusts. I'm not digressing to life insurance. This is probably as simple of an example as I can utilize to describe why someone might use an irrevocable trust during their lifetime. So as an estate planner, if I saw this client walk in, I would say, hey, you, if we keep the life insurance in your estate, we're going to pay a tax. We're going to pay about $120,000 to Washington State when you die. Would you like to save $120,000? And almost everybody would go, yeah, that sounds good. I'd like to save $120,000. All right. Well, the client doesn't save a penny. It's the beneficiaries right. who get to save $120,000. Right. But that's okay. That's why you have it. So we can start an irrevocable life insurance trust as an example. So that would be, we're going to set up the terms of a trust, and the client is going to say, I'm never going to come back to this document, and I'm never going to change it again, and I'm not going to control it. Because remember, if you control something, it counts towards your estate value. Mm. So now we have a bucket, it's called an irrevocable trust. Now we're going to take the life insurance that that person has, and we're going to assign it to the trustee of the irrevocable trust. Now what we've done is the client no longer controls, they are not the owner of that life insurance product anymore. Rather, an irrevocable trust where the client has says, I'm never going to touch this again. I don't have a way to come back to this. So there's no control. Now they move the life insurance product into that bucket, into an irrevocable trust. And now when that person dies, what they control is the $1 million home and the $1 million IRA. They're at $2 million. No taxes are due. And now that life insurance product, all the benefit, the full $1 million actually does go to the trust when the insured dies. And the beneficiaries of the trust, typically the kids, they get to use all of it, no taxes. So why would we use an irrevocable trust model? Well, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to shift the ownership away from the one who has a taxable estate into a different bucket where that product is safe. And look, most people, when they have a life insurance product, are not going to use it. There is whole life. There is universal. Those products have a cash value. And so if we have made a determination by looking at a person's financial life that, nope, they'll never use the cash value, then it could be a good decision to take your life insurance, move it into an irrevocable trust, and then the benefits of the life insurance actually are tax-free, both to the beneficiary and because we moved it out of the estate, now there's no tax due to the estate. So I hope that is a followable example of when we might want to use an irrevocable trust in estate planning. I want to give one more as our time runs down here. Another example of an irrevocable trust. Let's take the opposite effect. Very, very quickly, let's say that someone has a house that's paid off, but they only have $100,000 to their name, and now they're starting to experience some aging factors, and they would like to make sure that that house is protected against the possibility of Medicaid. An irrevocable trust might be an appropriate tool to shift the house into that we can still let you live there for the rest of your life. It's not a problem. We're not going to take your house. But now, because it's no longer under your control, now there might be the opportunity for you to have Medicaid benefits should you need them as you continue to age. That would be another example of an irrevocable trust being utilized, but on the opposite scale for someone who doesn't have as much money compared to the first example was we're trying to save taxes by removing stuff. So irrevocable trusts can be a powerful tool, but you have to plan first. We always need the base planning, and then we can deal with tax issues or protection issues in your estate.
Estate planning for taxes and how trusts might help that. If you're intrigued by Paul's discussion today, you want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, educational opportunities coming up, and there's ways to communicate. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Estate planning for taxes is the subject this week, and I think we're going to continue this next week as well. This has been the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.